Project. Funding will go towards the expansion of artworks in the Healing Project exhibition, the creation of a book, free community programs, and the creation of new content. The grant also provides the initial funding for the Healing Project Transformative Impact Fund, which will offer seed money and mentorship for selected interviewees who are currently or formerly incarcerated to work on their own special projects. All work is based on the premise that the deepest healing strategies come directly from those who have been traumatized and oppressed. To learn more about the Healing Project and listen to audio stories, visit us at radioproject.org. Thank you for listening. I've been your host, Anita Johnson, and you've been listening to Making Contact.
Yes, you pretend to care. Hide the weapons. It's all for the crowd. You want to believe so badly that everything was safe. Don't nobody lose a fortune. It works for you. It's awfully loud in here.
To KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
What we're doing here today is more important than the Vietnamese War. It's more important than dealing with racism, than dealing with sexism, than dealing with hunger, because I can feel hunger. I can see war. I can feel racism. I can feel sexism. I cannot see radiation. I cannot smell radiation. I cannot hear radiation. I look around one day and I am dead. Somewhere, you have to. So I say to you today, when you leave here, you have to give radiation an odor. You have to give radiation a sound. So go back into your communities and be willing to go to jail if it comes to that, because I'd rather see you in jail with the jails filled up than the graveyards running over. We have a choice. We've been told that if we close the nuclear plants down, we'll have brownouts. We'll have blackouts. I would rather have brownouts and blackouts than people outs. And finally, I say to you, if we in this country have used up all of our legitimate energies, and the only way we can survive is with illegitimate energies, then I say go to bed at night when the sun go down and wake up in the morning when it comes up. That's what it's going to come to. That's what it's going to have to come to.
That was comedian and also health promoter Dick Gregory. He spoke to 70,000 people at the May 6 coalition rally against nuclear power. held in Washington, D.C. in 1979.
And we are going to be having Kevin Camps join us. The title of the talk was given to him by the Native people working against the Palisades nuclear power plant up in the state of Michigan. We're going to hear about that story. This is the title they gave to Kevin when he spoke there. Water is life. Nuclear waste is death. And you just heard Dick Gregory talk to the same issue. Kevin Camps is a nuke waste specialist with Beyond Nuclear. Beyond Nuclear aims to educate and activate the public about the connections between nuclear power and nuclear weapons and the need to abolish both to safeguard our future. Beyond Nuclear advocates for an energy future that is sustainable, benign, and democratic. You can find them on the web at beyondnuclear.org. So stay with us. Carolyn's going to play another tune, and we'll be back with Kevin Camps.
Let ourselves go. standing at the edge of the ocean at sunrise. Brim of my hat protects my eyes. Rumble of the ocean is a song to me. Allegory still a reality. If you're really one of us, you can hear it. One foot on the earth, the other in the spirit realm. They tell me a tale of
mine underwater breaks the ice for layers in between is the calm before the storm.
We're a cold to the fire, dance backwards in a circle. Your own calm is only thing that can hurt you. One thing needs to be understood. Good medicine rarely ever tastes good. Now things are about to go wild, so now you want to check the style. Make way for the thunder child. Make way for the thunder child. Things I tell you will sound absurd. True poetry is the silence between words. Metaphors fly free as a bird, like the songs of the cardinal. If you've ever heard the protocol of the dance hall or the temple, it's quite simple. Here's an example of how truth is elemental.
Fire underwater breaks the ice fall.
Fire, dance backwards in the circle. Your own calm is only thing that can hurt you. One thing needs to be understood. Good medicine rarely ever tastes good. Now things are about to go wild, so now you want to check the style. Make way for the thunder child. Make way for the thunder child.
Non-binary, you can still call me sir. Real life Bugs Bunny, slicking quick with these words. Say, what's up, doc? Guess we'll find out in a minute. When I'm turning barrel backwards for your bullets, oh, it hits you. Said, what's the issue? You're getting useful lessons. Don't be questioning your blessings. Said, frankly, that's depressing. Come asking for medicine. The spirits stay objective. They will tell you it's your problem if you don't like what you're getting.
Burn underwater breaks the ice for layers in between.
There's the calm before the storm.
We're a cold to the fire, dance backwards in a circle. Your own calm is only thing that can hurt you. One thing needs to be understood. Good medicine rarely ever tastes good. Now things are about to go wild, so now you want to check the style. Make way for the thunder child, make way for the thunder child.
Burn underwater breaks the ice fall.
The fire dance backwards in a circle. Your own calm is only thing that can hurt you. One thing needs to be understood. Good medicine rarely ever tastes good. Now things are about to go wild, so now you want to check the style. Make way for the thunder child. Make way for the thunder child.
Hey! To love way up high, way up high.
Welcome, Kevin Camps from Beyond Nuclear. And we read a little bit about you. You are the nuke waste specialist with Beyond Nuclear. We can find them online at beyondnuclear.org. We've been playing a little bit of this Dick Gregory talk from a 1979 No Nukes rally in Washington, D.C. Can't smell radiation. You can't hear it. You know, you can't see it. But we need to put a sound to it. because one day, you know, we wake up dead. And I think that's what the title that was given to you by Native people to one of your talks, Water is Life, Nuclear Waste is Death. I wanted to just start with that, Kevin, because this is a very serious subject that is happening across the country. And you've been watching it, you've been witnessing it up at the Palisades. Can you talk a little bit first about yourself and, you know, tell us about your work? Let's hear about Palisades.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So my name is Kevin Camps, and I serve as radioactive waste specialist at Beyond Nuclear. We're a watchdog on the nuclear industry, mostly on the nuclear power side, but also on the nuclear weapon side. There's so much overlap. And I've been doing this for more than 30 years. I got involved with nuclear weapons issues back in 1992. I was on a peace march called Walk Across America for Mother Earth, from New York City to the Nevada nuclear weapons test site. It's the first time I heard about Yucca Mountain, which was the targeted national dump site for highly radioactive waste. It's on Western Shoshone Indian land, as is the Nevada test site. They are close to each other. The testing took place about 30 miles from where the dump is targeted. And I came back to Michigan after that peace march, and my local nuclear power plant that I barely even knew was there had run out of space to store its highly radioactive waste indoors. So they started plopping it outdoors in containers, but on the beach of Lake Michigan, just 100 yards or so from the water of Lake Michigan. So I've kept an eye on Palisades for 33 years and have been working in D.C. for more than 25 years on these issues.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, because some of the news that we hear, it's kind of hard to, you know, get a grip on. And one is that this particular nuclear power plant has closed down. If I'm correct, it was in 2022. And the company, Holtec, who was to buy it and decommission it, has this new plan to restart it. And they are being bailed out by these tremendous $1 million, if not $1 billion, guaranteed loans. But, you know, to understand that a little bit more, could you, I know it's a lot to explain, but could you tell our listeners a little bit more about this situation, because this was a power plant that was closed down, but yet they're going to restart it. It's 40 years old or something, right? I mean,
well, a little good news. From 2012 to 2022, there were 13 reactor shutdowns across the U.S. and Canada. It was record-breaking numbers of reactor shutdowns, and one of the sweetest ones was Vermont Yankee.
Yes.
I got up there for some of the civil disobedience and nonviolent actions, and so that was a very sweet shutdown. Unfortunately, with Palisades, they did shut down for good, we thought, on May 20th of 2022. But just before shutting down, and it's 3 years ago now, our nuclear nightmare began. Instead of this long-planned shutdown at Palisades, the first trial balloon that got floated was by Holtec's CEO, Krishna Singh. He floated the idea of building so-called small modular reactors on the site instead of shutting down. And then a few days later, on April 20th of 2022, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat who's still serving, floated the trial balloon of not shutting down, but rather continuing operations. And that restart idea, we call it the zombie reactor restart, is unprecedented. There's never been a closed reactor brought back from the dead anywhere in the world. And in addition to being unprecedented, it's also unneeded. The lights are still on 3 years later. It's insanely expensive. The grand total that Holtec is seeking at Palisades is $8 billion for the restart. That's with a B. And $8 billion, or give or take, for the small modular reactors, a grand total of more than $16 billion.
Wow.
And the last thing I'll say is Palisades was a lemon from the get-go. They fired up in 1971. They were a lemon throughout their operations. add to that severe age-related degradations of multiple safety systems. And then HOTEC gets a hold of it with a lie, saying they're going to decommission, clean up the radioactive contamination. That was all a con job. That was a bait and switch trick. Instead, they're going to restart. They're going to build new reactors there. And they have shown their true colors. They have never built a reactor before. They've never designed a reactor before. They've never operated a reactor before. They are a radioactive waste management company a decommissioning company, meaning they tear the facilities down and they send streams of low-level radioactive waste and contamination to dump sites around the country. So this is a grand nuclear experiment, and we're fighting it with everything we have.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And I know that you are working with some of the Native American tribes whose land it abuts, and some of the territory is traditional territory. Could you give us a little bit of background about some of the tribes that are saying no to this, to these projects?
Well, Michigan is Anishinaabe Aki. That's Anishinaabe land. The Anishinaabe are the Three Fires Confederacy. You have the Potawatomi in the south. Their name means keepers of the fire. They're the traditional culture keepers of the Anishinaabe. Further north, just a short distance really, is the Odawa. They were the middlemen and women. They were the traders between the Potawatomi and the Ojibwe further north. So you've got the three tribes in close confederacy. The nearest neighbors to Palisades would include the Pokagon Potawatomi in Dowagiac, Michigan, and a little bit further to the northeast would be the Gun Lake Potawatomi, who used to live in Kalamazoo, where I'm speaking to you from, but they were allied with the British in the War of 1812 and had to get out of town when the Americans showed up. So they moved a bit further to the north and east. By a miracle and through tremendous hard work, the Pokagon Potawatomi are still on there. Traditional territory in Dowagiac, Michigan. And in addition to that, we've been very fortunate to have Indigenous Environmental Network, which is based in Minnesota, but really is hemispheric in their activities. They have joined us in resisting many bad ideas of Palisades, including the license extension, including now the restart. And I should hasten to add that HOTEC and another company, which is actually decommissioning Vermont Yankee, I guess that's the good news, that it's actually decommissioning Vermont Yankee. This other company is called North Star. It's also called Interim Storage Partners. Both Interim Storage Partners and HOTEC are trying to open radioactive waste dumps in the Southwest. HOTEC in New Mexico, Interim Storage Partners in Texas. These are gigantic environmental justice violations. These sites have tribal connections, of course. It's also Latinx and indigenous majority population out there. The state of New Mexico is majority Latinx and indigenous. So guess who these companies are targeting? Yet again, ever since 1943, when Oppenheimer set up Los Alamos in New Mexico, the industry's had its claws into these lands, into these states. We're fighting the dumps, too. We were just in the Supreme Court for oral arguments a month ago. We'll find out by the end of June which way the Supreme Court rules. But if the dumps do open, we're talking unprecedented numbers of high-level radioactive waste shipments through most states, bringing this very deadly material that much closer to our communities. I mean, the people who live near the nuclear power plant sites have been dealing with the waste threat for a long time, but the transportation and these new dumps mean tens of millions more Americans will be facing these risks.
Wow.
And they'll be transporting it by train, by truck, all of the above.
They say mostly rail. These containers these days are very large. The HOTEC containers are now 37 pressurized water reactor assemblies per container. That's 180 tons. This is half again bigger than they were just 25 years ago. These are among the heaviest loads moving. So they have to use the train tracks as much as they can. But to get it to the train tracks, sometimes they could use barges on surface waters. They could use what are called heavy haul trucks, monster truck in front pulling, monster truck in back pushing, 200 wheels on the trailers in between.
Oh, wow.
So those initial legs of the journey are problematic, but the rail shipments cross-continent are also problematic, whether it's a severe accident that exceeds the designs of these containers or an intentional attack. Yeah. But even incident-free shipments are like mobile X-ray machines that can't be turned off. They're emitting gamma radiation and neutrons, especially at a very close-in distance. But innocent bystanders or the people who have to work near these things, the rail line workers, the inspectors, the police, will be getting radiation doses.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. Is there, I mean, I know that each site is holding on to its nuclear waste. Is there any talk that this would just be the end result, that the waste would be stored on site? I mean, are they just going for moving it to a nuclear waste site?
In a very real sense, each nuclear power plant site, even the closed ones like Vermont Yankee or Maine Yankee or Yankee Row in Massachusetts, they are de facto high-level radioactive waste dumps. Mm-hmm. There have been all these promises, I mean, all told, going back to the beginning. Yeah. The first so-called civilian reactor in this country was Shippingport, Pennsylvania, 1957. Hmm. They promised to get the waste out of these communities, but reprocessing fell through. Thankfully, reprocessing is nuclear weapons proliferation risk. It's astronomically expensive. The public pays. It's also environmentally ruinous. It's extraction of plutonium for reuse as reactor fuel or as nuclear weapons material. Hmm. It was done in West Valley, New York, near Buffalo, and a $10 billion mess was made that's never been cleaned up. It's going to go into Lake Erie and Lake Ontario if they don't clean it up someday. And that was just from 6 short years of reprocessing activities. So thankfully, reprocessing is not happening, has not happened in this country for a long time. The other options were Yucca Mountain, Nevada, on Western Shoshone land. They wanted to bury it there. It was unsuitable from a scientific and technical perspective, let alone treaty rights, environmental justice, the transportation risks. It's an earthquake zone. It's a volcanic zone. The ground is, ironically, saturated with water, even though it's an arid place. So that site would have failed miserably. We stopped it through a huge coalition, a small miracle, a big miracle that we stopped it. The talk of the town now to get the waste off the sites where it's at are these consolidated interim storage facilities, like in New Mexico, like in Texas. And actually, there's some recognition that they're not going to get away with this because the states of Texas and New Mexico have state laws against these dumps in addition to the federal laws that are being broken. So there's a long list that the Department of Energy keeps of targeting sites around the country for consolidated interim storage facilities. And wouldn't you know, a lot of them at the top of the list are Native American reservations. They always have been a top target. So that's what we're fighting against.
I want to just remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Kevin Camps. He's talking to us from Michigan. We're talking about the Palisades Nuclear Power Plant, where a company that is called Holtec is supposed to be decommissioning it, but instead they want to restart. They're being bailed out with guaranteed loans, bonds from the federal government. I wanted to just have you comment. I read an article recently by Naomi Klein, The Rise of End Times Fascism. Kind of intense. But the forces we're up against these days have made peace with mass death, she says in the article. And they are treasonous to this world and its human and non-human habitants. So I think that when we work with the Native communities, we're reminded so much of our relationship to all living beings and to the earth. And I wanted to, just have you comment on, how that's been for you, what maybe you have learned, or if you have any comments about the Naomi Klein article.
No, I appreciate Naomi Klein very much, her lifetime work. She one time was on a debate or an interview with Hansen, the climate scientist.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very pro-nuclear power. And mm-hmm. she confronted him about that, which was, you know, courageous because he has such a following. And it's true that, you know, trying to solve the climate crisis with nuclear is a dead end. It costs too much. It takes too long. Mm-hmm. It's not going to solve the problem, but it's going to prevent the problem from being solved because it's going to take all our time and all our money. But she makes a good point about end times fascism. I had the tremendous honor and privilege of meeting Thomas Benyakia Sr., the Hopi ambassador from the spiritual elders to the outside world. And he told us, he gave us a, I believe, 6-hour short version of the Hopi prophecy back in 1992 when I was on the Peace March. And what it was the Hopi had instructions from the creator, the different clans among the Hopi. And one of the instructions to one of the clans was, When a gourd full of ashes falls from the sky and turns the land to ashes, you're supposed to take action. And they interpreted the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs as being the gourd full of ashes. And so their job was to alert the other clans among the Hopi that there had to be a gathering, and all the clans were supposed to share their instructions from the creator. And a part of it, too, was there's this path, there's this trail, and it forks. And one fork is the way we're supposed to live, and the other fork is the way we're not supposed to live. And there were a lot of connections to nuclear. It wasn't exclusively nuclear, but so the difference between corn pollen and uranium, for example. Corn pollen, this sacred substance, this vital to life substance, especially among the Hopi, the Pueblo, other indigenous nations in the Southwest, where it's miraculous to grow it out there, but they do and have forever. And then the other path, like yellow cake, uranium yellow cake, is the wrong way to go and will end in utter destruction. And the Hopi even talk about this world. There have been four worlds, I think, in their tradition. This world was supposed to last. There was already previously a great purification that wiped out the earlier worlds, but this world was supposed to last. But they mourn about a great purification. If we keep it up, and there's various, you know, ways that could happen, whether it's nuclear war or nuclear power catastrophes or global climate chaos. So, yes, Naomi Klein is onto something that these indigenous nations have warned us about, not for centuries, but if we've been listening the whole time. Whatever contact we've had with them, they've been trying to warn us for a long time.
Thank you. That was very beautiful. I love thinking about Thomas Benyakia. Yay. I just have one more comment about the whole text, is that it's not just that Palisades is being restarted, it's being reinvented. And it's a little scary that they think that they can use some of these, you know, like just the metal itself, I can imagine, has gone through such a fatigue and everything, you know, with 40 years of being blasted with radioactive stuff. So, you know, can you comment on this reinvention of, you know, how it would all work?
So Holtec, just for folks in your area up there, they're also decommissioning the Pilgrim reactor in Massachusetts. They're also decommissioning the Indian Point reactors near New York City. That's the good news. They're not trying to restart those. Some bad news, just like at Palisades, is they have last summer come forward with explicitly targeting even those sites for small modular reactors. They've done the same years ago at Oyster Creek, New Jersey. So what they do is they lie their way in. They say they're going to decommission. They say they're going to clean up the radioactive mess. The cleanups, they try to keep them as shallow as possible. And at a place like Indian Point, that's going to be a problem because Indian Point's high-level radioactive waste storage pools have been leaking into the groundwater for a long time, for decades.
Yeah.
And if they don't clean that up, it's going to go into the Hudson River over time. It's going to leak out. Yeah. So Holtec at Palisades kind of took it another step, this restart idea. And actually, Palisades was designed in the mid-1960s ground was broken in 67. They fired up in 71. They operated until 2022. And like you said, the issue that's getting the most attention safety-wise these days is the steam generator tubes. Previous owners said 20 years ago that the steam generators, which are critical safety equipment, needed to be replaced at Palisades for the second time in its existence. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission never required it. So Entergy, most recent owner before Holtec, ran Palisades into the ground, including the steam generators, never replaced them. Holtec takes over on June 28th of 2022, still supposedly for decommissioning. Neglected safety maintenance on the steam generators and everything else, too, made the problem a whole lot worse in just 2 years, 2022 to 2024. Finally decide, yeah, I guess we're serious about restarting, implement safety maintenance that should have been implemented 2 years earlier. You've got very dangerous steam generators. That's not the only issue. There's about a half dozen major safety systems at the brink of failure at Palisades.
Wow.
You mentioned worn out metal. We just talked about the steam generators. The reactor pressure vessel, because of the neutron radiation coming off the core, is the most highly embrittled, worst embrittled reactor pressure vessel in the country and perhaps in the world. This is a second pathway to meltdown.
Wow.
The lid is degraded, should have been replaced 20 years ago. They actually ordered a new lid, brought it onto the site. Turned out the new lid was defective, and then they decided we'll just stick with the old lid. And all of these problems that I've described, like the steam generators, that led to the shutdown of two reactors in Southern California in 2013 on a single day, steam generator problems. The lid, there was a close call in Ohio 20 plus years ago with a degraded lid. They have plenty of warnings that you should not mess with these systems. You should, if you intend to restart and operate for decades to come, you need to replace these problematic components. They have no plans to do so because they're very much about making money. And the last thing I'll say is Holtec is infamous not only for incompetence, inexperience, they're also very crooked, even criminal. They've been implicated in a bribery conviction in Alabama. They pretty much got away with it. They had to pay a $2 million fine, and they were on probation with the Tennessee Valley Authority for 60 days. But then up in New Jersey, where they're headquartered, they applied for a state tax break and lied about that bribery conviction. So they lie under oath. You name it, they engage in it. They've tried bribing other safety officials. We know about that. So this problem company should not be in charge of anything nuclear, let alone something as high risk as possible.
It sounds like a script for a bad movie. You know, I just... You know, I guess I wanted to ask you a little bit about the small modular reactors that they plan on building on site. I mean, are they really small? What is the actual size of these things? That my understanding is they haven't even designed them yet.
Yeah, Holtec claims to have been designing their version of small modular reactors for more than 10 years, but it's not certified by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They can't build it today because they don't have permission to. They're not small. They are 300 megawatts electric each. So that's SMR, small modular reactor, 300 megawatts electric. Compare that to, for example, the Fermi Unit 1 reactor in southeastern Michigan, which was 67 megawatts electric. These Holtecs are 4.5 times bigger. And we almost lost Detroit in 1966 due to this 67 megawatt reactor called Fermi 1. We have another 67 megawatt reactor up north called Big Rock Point, Palisades sibling site. It was 67 megawatts, so these SMR 300s are 4.5 times bigger. Big Rock Point had one of the worst releases of radioactivity of any nuclear power plant in the country, despite its relatively small size. I mean, Palisades, the old reactor, is 800 megawatts. There are reactors in this country that are 1,100 megawatts down in Georgia. So these are relatively small, these 67 megawatt, these older ones. Big Rock Point released more than 3 million curies of radioactivity into the environment over its operations, which is nuclear disaster levels of releases without having a disaster, they claimed. But they did have broken fuel in the core, these huge releases.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And so these 300 megawatt reactors they're calling small are capable of 4.5 times that kind of damage if something goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and physically, how big are they? How big would they be on site?
They're still pretty massive. Well, the Big Rock Point, I visited it a number of times. It had next to no containment structure over it, but that next to no containment structure was still a gigantic sphere of thin metal. So it was a landmark that you could see from Beaver Island in the middle of Lake Michigan. You could see the robin's egg blue sphere that they called a containment over this much smaller 67 megawatt reactor.
Wow.
So you look at the Holtec SMR 300s, they're 4.5 times bigger. These so-called small reactors are 4.5 times bigger than reactors that caused lots of problems in our country in the past that were themselves very large. They're physically very large structures.
Wow. I'd like to, have some hopeful comments. One thing is the unity that you're finding with working with other groups and the Indigenous Environmental Network. And can we speak to that a little bit? And if there's any other hopeful comments that you can, leave us with this, because this is kind of grim and very hard to digest. And I know we've been talking about this on the radio, but still, I want people to be able to grasp it, but be able to, be able to walk with it in the future. And how might you see people doing that together in unity?
Well, I mean that solidarity with Native American environmental activists and traditionals goes way back in the anti-nuclear movement. So Grace Thorpe, who's the daughter of Jim Thorpe, the famous athlete, she is an amazing person. She passed some time ago, but one of her claims to fame was she not only stopped a nuclear waste dump targeted at her reservation, Sac and Fox in Oklahoma, she then took her message on the road and helped some 60 other reservation communities fend off these dumps 20 plus years ago. So these dumps can be stopped. Working with the Western Shoshone, we managed to stop the Yucca Mountain dump, which was a $100 billion project if they had gone through with it. That's a hard thing to stop, but we stopped it. And even on the reactors, I mean, Richard Nixon gave a speech where he envisioned 1,000 reactors in the United States by the year 2000. They got away with about 130, 135, not 1,000. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those stopped reactors were due to the anti-nuclear movement and Native tribes fending them off in their areas. So we have won tremendous victories time and time again. They're a very economically and politically powerful industry. They're tied to the nuclear weapons industry, so they are formidable, but we continue to fight them, and many times we win, so we just got to keep at it.
Oh, Kevin
Thank
Camps.
You.
Yeah, it's really, thank you so much for chatting with us today and, reminding us that the solidarity is there, and we just need to remember that and keep working together. You've been a great help in helping us to understand. And would there be any final comments that maybe you might have today?
The one thing I didn't really talk about at all is uranium mining, which again is targeted at indigenous areas in the U.S., in Canada, Australia, various countries in Africa. So from start to finish, from uranium mining through high-level radioactive waste disposal, nuclear power is an environmental injustice the whole way through. So for that reason alone, it should be closed and stopped. But of course, that's just one of the many aspects of its wrong that it commits.
Yeah, yeah. And we see that, some of these, the uranium mining industry wants to start up again. unfortunately. I just had one final question. I know recently, just a couple months ago in Los Alamos, they had a lot of public hearings. They were suggesting, reprocessing to start there. I was wondering if you have any comments about what I was amazed. I tuned into some of the public hearing, and I hadn't realized how large that complex has grown to be and how many people, thousands, I think it was 15,000 people now work there and mm-hmm. live in those communities. And is that something that you see starting up again, the reprocessing there at Los Alamos?
Yeah, what's being proposed is the manufacture of plutonium pits for nuclear weapons at Los Alamos, which already takes place, but in limited numbers. They want to greatly expand the number of plutonium pits for nuclear weapons that Los Alamos is making. They also want to start plutonium pit manufacture for the first time at Savannah River Site, South Carolina. So the fight back is on. There's a group like Nuclear Watch New Mexico and many others who are fighting back. There's the group Savannah Riverside Watch in South Carolina that's fighting back. They won a tremendous court victory where the U.S. Department of Energy and the National Nuclear Security Agency were told, hey, look, you've not done your homework on the National Environmental Policy Act. You need to do an environmental impact statement. So there have been public comment hearings going on thanks to this court victory. Unfortunately, it's something that started under the Obama administration and has continued since. It is a $2 trillion modernization of the U.S. nuclear weapons arsenal over a 30-year time period. So instead of abolishing nuclear weapons, as we should if we hope to survive into the future as a species, as a planet, the United States has doubled down on, essentially, they call it modernizing, but it's also expanding the nuclear weapons arsenal, coming up with new bomb designs, with new intended uses or potential uses. So it's launching, it's a part of a new arms race with Russia, with China, with other countries that have nuclear weapons or are thinking about getting them. And the U.S., the only country to ever use nuclear weapons in wartime at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then, of course, all the testing that has poisoned our planet, too, and threatened our planet. The U.S. should really be going the other way, joining the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which is very hopeful. There are scores of countries that have signed on to that and ratified it, calling for the abolishment of nuclear weapons. That's what has to happen. So this U.S. program, and I mentioned the other countries, they are walking down the wrong path that the Hopi warned about from their original instructions from the Creator. There is only death down that path, mass death.
Yeah.
We have to stop walking that way.
Oh, Kevin Camps, waste specialist with Beyond Nuclear. We've been talking under this topic, water is life, nuclear waste is death. I want to thank you so much. It's truly been an honor to talk to you today. Thank you for your work. It's wow, you've really told us a lot of things we need to think about and process. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for being on our show.
Thanks so much for having me, Doug.
You take care, and
thanks for having me.
Hope our paths cross at some point, and you be well.
All right.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Moccasin Tracks, independently produced for community radio with the Pacifica Radio Network. My name is Deb Rigger. Look to our Moccasin Tracks page on Facebook for more information, and thank you for supporting the original peoples in art and music, respect and balance.
everything. This is a story about everybody. This is a story about nothing. This is a story about no one is the abyss.
This is a story.
When you stand at the edge of the abyss and there's nothing there staring you back, that is where a man finds his character. When you stand at the edge of the abyss and there's nothing there staring you back, that is where a man finds his character.
Take a trip with me, even though the journey's begun. We're all born of free will and keep going till we're done. Passion's released, or at least we'd like to think. There's a message in a bottle that said don't take a drink. Take a bite of the apple and your mind might expand. Consciousness exposes you to a massive plan. Have knowledge yourself and they'll chalk it up to vanity. Let them know your thoughts and they'll question your sanity.
When you stand at the edge of the abyss and there's nothing there staring you back, that is where a man finds his character. When you stand at the edge of the abyss and there's nothing there staring you back, that is where a man finds his character.
The choices we make will shape who we become. Places we end up as opposed to where we're from. Now if we make changes to our karma, we rewrite divine drama. See, I was always glad to be one who had a dad. Now I'm the kind of dad I always wished I had. As the pendulum swings, a new legacy it brings. New landscape through and through. Or is it really just new to you?
When you stand at the edge of the earth,
staring.
the edge of the abyss. And there's nothing there staring you back. That is where man finds his character. When you stand at the edge of the abyss.